Justin Timberlake, Like I Love You. Hello. Hello and welcome to Live and Local with BB Lynch. Dame BB Lynch. I must drop that. Will I get in trouble for calling myself a dame? Anyway, Dame BB Lynch. We have a brilliant show lined up for you this evening. We have music, we have guests, we have probably award-winning radio till 10 p.m. Should we do it? James and Sit Down. They didn't even say please. Hello, how are you? I have a new dress. I wish you could see her. I'll be talking about her nonstop. Let me tell you about tonight's show. Karen Mooney, founder of Sarah Eden Introductions, one of the UK's leading introduction agencies, will be here to tell us how to find love by winter, just in case there's another lockdown. Publishing goddess, Radio Reverb host, and my friend Anna Burt, naughty Anna Burt, will be suffering BB's personal playlist. And in a few minutes, brilliant comedy songwriter and performer, Brighton-based Hannah Brackenbury, will join us to tell us about her lockdown. It's going to be a great show, so please stay with us. I'm not really feeling my selfie by the brilliant Hannah Brackenbury, and Hannah's here. I love my first guest. Fabulous comedy songwriter and performer, winner of Best Show at the Funny Women Awards 2019, and winner of, I'm going to be careful how I say this, Broadway Baby Bobby Award at Brighton Fringe for her show Victorious. It's Hannah Brackenbury. Hello, Hannah.
Hello, how are you?
I'm really good. Oh, it's you. I haven't seen you for ages.
I know, it's been a while, hasn't it? Oh. I think it was January that we saw each other last.
Yeah, okay, so your fabulous show.
That's right.
Oh, how have you been?
Yeah, it's been a funny old time, hasn't it? I think everyone says the same thing to that question, but yeah, it certainly has been a strange few months. Been doing some different things than I had planned to be doing this year, but no, I mean it's not too bad. Everyone I know is healthy, and you know, everyone's okay, so that's the most important thing.
That's pretty much bottom line, isn't it? Have you been spending lockdown in Brighton?
I have, yes. I've been here, pretty much right up until last week when myself and my girlfriend went away to Cornwall for a few days. So that was our first escape from Brighton for a while. But
Did that feel weird?
It was a little bit odd. Yeah, it was a bit strange, but it was very enjoyable. Yeah, very nice to have a change of scenery. As much as I love Brighton, it was nice to have a change of scenery for sure.
So I love that track. I'm not really feeling myself. So I don't know if you know. I don't know if I've told you this. I think I have told you this. I have still yet to find my good FaceTime angle. So I've started doing face yoga.
Face yoga.
Hannah, please write a song about face yoga.
Face yoga.
And then try and sing when you're doing the moves. It's ridiculous. But when we next meet, I want you to, because I've got little kind of pouchy cheeks now, and I want you to just kind of, I don't know, throw a peanut at my cheek or something and try and catch it in your mouth. So tell me, let's not get too depressing, but what has lockdown messed up? Because I know your tours had to be kind of constantly put on hold.
Yeah, the tour was my main activity for this year, really. I'd spent months and months setting everything up, contacting venues and booking dates for throughout the year. I had about 25 dates lined up for this year, and I'd managed to get the first 8 under my belt before everything went wrong. I started off in January at Comedia with my launch party, which I think is the one that you came along to. And then I'd managed to get 7 more shows done through January and February before everything went wrong in March. And it's been a case of postponing and cancelling and trying to just move as much as I can. Initially I was moving dates into sort of September, October time, but even now I don't think it's very realistic for those to go ahead. I think I'm looking at sort of March or April next year. That's what I'm aiming for now, just picking everything up and moving it into next year.
It's got to be so frustrating though.
Yeah, it has. It's been, like I say, it had been months of work before that, trying to get everything ready and rehearsing and all the promotional work and everything that goes into that. It's been strange, but I've managed to keep myself busy. I've kept myself occupied with other things.
And I've seen what you've been keeping yourself busy with. So there's been online gigs, brilliant. Have you been enjoying that? There must be such a it's such a different animal performing wise, but it is still performing, isn't it?
It is still performing. Yeah, the online gigs, they've served their purpose. Whether I've enjoyed them, I'm not sure if I'd say that or not. They're very stressful in a different way to performing on a stage. Yeah, you're sort of worrying about the technical side of things as well as performing. You're worrying about, you know, how the sound's coming across or whether your internet signal's going to hold up, yeah, and all that side of it. And yeah, not being able to see the audience looking back at you or hear them laughing. It's very strange as a performer, as a comedy performer especially, you rely on that energy from the audience to kind of keep you going and pump you up. And without that, it's very strange. But yeah, I did a fair few online gigs at the beginning of lockdown, and people were very kind and made lots of lovely donations to help me through those first couple of months. Yeah. And yeah, we'll see where the year takes us. But
and you've NHS Appeal music video, which is just a lovely thing, and also wedding proposal songs.
Yeah, what's this? That's been really lovely. Yeah, so. Yeah, one of the things to come out of this is that I've started writing songs for other people, and I was approached by a lady called Jessie who was looking to propose to her girlfriend Julia. They knew of me; they'd been to see my shows a few times, and Julia in particular is a big Victoria Wood fan. So Jessie got in touch and said, "How would you feel about writing a personalised song for me to use to propose to Julia?" So I thought, "Yeah, do you know what? That's right up my street. I'll give that a go." So myself and Jessie spent a few weeks sending these secretive messages to each other, which wasn't easy for her because she was in lockdown with Julia living in the same house.
You could have broken them up.
I could have done. I wouldn't be surprised if Julia was suspicious. I think it was lots of hiding away in the toilet and sending me messages and bits and bobs of information about their relationship and lots of lovely details about how they got together. And yeah, I wrote a song for Julia from Jessie, and we arranged to perform it at the end of one of my online shows. So Jessie managed to get lots of their family and friends and Julia on the line. And then at the end of my show, I announced that I had an extra special bonus song at the end, and delivered the song to Julia. And then Jessie popped the question, and we caught it all on Zoom, got it all on video, and made a lovely, lovely
Hannah, that
video
is
for
so
them.
Gorgeous, isn't it?
It was very stressful, you know, making sure, hoping that the internet connection didn't drop out just as the moment that she popped the ring out, you know. But it couldn't have gone more smoothly. It was a really lovely thing to be part of. Yeah, and
so
since
lovely.
Then somebody else saw me post about that, and then I got asked to do another one a couple of weeks ago, so I did another one, which I haven't edited the video footage for yet, but yeah. I've done a second proposal song as well, so certainly a new thing that I wouldn't have been doing, I don't think, if
well,
lockdown hadn't happened.
Isn't that key though, all the things before? So Hannah's brilliant show, the award-winning one, is Victorious, and it's a Victoria Wood tribute, musical tribute, mm-hmm. isn't it? So that's what
right,
the
yeah.
Victoria Wood connection was.
And yes, yeah.
And I know your fabulous show about Brighton, because you love Brighton mm-hmm. so much.
I do, yes, yeah.
What was I going to say to you? Has anyone got in touch about doing a proposal for me?
Well,
tell me,
you
can
say,
tell me.
Could I? I couldn't possibly ruin the surprise, could I?
If you did, how? What would you rhyme with BB?
BB. I'm trying to think of something
freebie.
That's not rude. A freebie. Freebie. I'd have to give that some thought. I'm sure I could come up with something.
Oh, please do. Would you? So the song. Are you allowed to give us a little bit of the proposal song? Even just a lyric.
Oh, it was it, so the chorus was all about Julius. It was do you know what, mine's gone completely blank. I've not sung it for a few weeks now. No, my mind's gone completely
what
blank.
Did you rhyme
it,
with, what
called,
did you rhyme with
it was called Oh Julia.
Oh, it's so cute.
And it's on YouTube. If you want to hear it, pop my name into YouTube and you can see the full video and the whole build up to the experience and everything. Yeah.
But Hannah, did you have a second song lined up in case it was a no?
No, I didn't. But I was thinking that if she did say no, I would probably get more hits on YouTube than if she'd said yes, to be honest. Because it'd be a bit more of a novelty.
That's the attitude, Hannah. That's keeping it real. Real deal. That's lovely. Have you found, you know, you were just saying that it's kind of, this is an, you know, I just, honestly, that is just such a fabulous, what a lovely thing to do. for someone.
Yeah, it was really nice.
It's just so gorgeous and so personal. It's lovely. But yeah, unexpected. Is there anything, have there been any benefits have you found from this kind of enforced time, quiet time?
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly broadened some of my skills in some of the things I already did. So I've been quite lucky. I've always had a few strings to my bow. So I do photography and I do some design work and video editing. And I've spent a lot more time working on things like that, making videos and expanding my skills in those areas. My girlfriend runs a marketing company, so she's been teaching me all about social media marketing, and I've learned all about the technical side of that, which I wouldn't have known before. So yeah, I've certainly developed some new skills that going forward, when I do come to do my tour again, my social media marketing is going to be fabulous because I know what I'm doing now, where I didn't know what I was doing before.
Have you been writing other stuff? Have you found that your writing's changed? Is that a stupid question? But do you know what I mean? Has it made you more introspective?
I haven't done any fresh writing other than the proposal songs, and I did one song for a friend who's making an online sitcom. She asked me to write a theme tune for that, which I did. That was fun. But I'm planning to write a whole bunch of new songs over the next couple of months. Very much inspired by a TV show that I've been obsessed with through lockdown. A TV show called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend on Netflix. And it's a musical comedy show written by a girl called Rachel Bloom, who was a musical comedy performer originally and then got into writing and acting for TV. And she just writes the most brilliant parodies, the most brilliant parody songs. And
I'm going to watch that. I need a new show. Yeah. What's it called? Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
It's called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Yeah, don't be put off by the title. It's not what you think it's going to be. It's very, very smart, very, very clever, very satirical show. And it's brilliant. Yeah. And it's packed full of musical comedy, which is right up my street. So yeah, that's made me think a lot about writing in different styles and different genres and things, which I'm certainly going to try and do going forward. Yeah,
so we are hoping to hear from you and see you next in March, we hope.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I say, I still have some dates booked in for September, October, but I realistically I don't think they're going to go ahead. Yeah, it's going to be March, April time, I think, when things hopefully kick off again properly. But we'll see. Who knows?
Found the sea's kept you sane?
The sea? Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I live down here in I'm a Hoven now. I'm near Palmyra Square, so yeah, walks down to. Yeah, I think I'm quite close to you now. Walks down to the beach during lockdown, and it's a lovely, not a bad place to be locked down.
Do you want to teach me to swim? Yes or no?
I'm terrible at sea swimming. I'm such a wuss when it comes to getting in the sea. It has to be really, really, really warm for me to get in the sea. And I haven't done it yet this year, even though we've had some hot days. But I'm a bit of a wuss with all that. Okay. But yeah, I can swim. I'll teach you to swim if you
like. Thank you so much. So that's the song about face yoga, the proposal song. I teach you. This has worked out very well.
And some swimming lessons.
So Hannah, to find out more about when the tour's happening and everything else you're up to, it's brackers.co.uk.
That's right. Yeah, that's my website where everything is kept as up to date as possible. Yeah.
Oh, Hannah, take care. And I can't wait to see you really soon.
Yes, you too.
Take care. That's done. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. BBC Radio Sussex.
I think we should have a little look at the weather. This evening, we'll see sunny spells with any showers fading away overnight. It will then be dry with long clear periods and a few mist or fog patches forming. Light winds, minimum temperature 9 degrees Celsius, that's 48 degrees Fahrenheit. And tomorrow, what's happening tomorrow? Tomorrow, we'll see a dry day with spells of sunshine, although areas of patchy cloud will develop in the afternoon. It's going to be a warmer day. It's warm today. There will be a moderate southwesterly breeze, maximum temperature 21 degrees Celsius, that's 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Phoebe Lynch, BBC Radio Sussex. Oasis, the naughty Oasis boys, and the importance of being idle. So I've got a real treat for you. Are you single? If you're single, I'm single. If you're single, you're really going to want to listen to this. If you are so fed up with your partner during lockdown and you're like, enough, I need someone new, you're really going to need to listen to this. So we have Karen Mooney coming on, and Karen is the founder of Sarah Eden Introductions, which is one of the UK's leading introduction agencies. She's been a matchmaker for 32 years, so she knows everything about finding love, not only love, but love that lasts. There's thousands of marriages have been made to this agency, and long-term relationships. So, you know, there might be, please God, there isn't, but there might be another lockdown in winter, and I'm not doing the next one on my own. I'm serious. New order and regret. Our next guest is here. Welcome to Live and Local, founder of Sarah Eden Introductions, one of the UK's leading introduction agencies, Karen Mooney. Hello, Karen.
Hello, Bibi. How are you?
I'm really good. I think we
Thank
both realised...
Thank you very much for the lovely introduction.
Oh, you're Sorry. Very, very welcome. I think we realised, both realised today that we've met years ago.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Isn't it funny?
Yeah. How have you been?
I've been fine. A bit older and everything, you know, but, you know, hey, that's
That's
life,
not true. I won't have that. So I never knew this about you, and I love this about you. This is so fascinating. So you worked for the Royalty and Diplomatic Protection Department at Buckingham Palace.
Yes, I did. Yes, yes.
Can you find me a prince, yes or no?
Oh, I'm not sure now.
Now.
They're not in such great demand as they were a few years ago.
There aren't as many knocking around. Yeah, that's true.
We've lost one to the States too, haven't we?
So, yeah, that's true. Yeah, they're dwindling okay, let's leave it. So you founded, and it is Sarah, not Sarah.
Well, I know it should be pronounced Sarah, but we say Sarah. Yeah. Sarah Eden, yes.
So you founded Sarah Eden Introductions 32 years ago, and I love this. So this agency has been responsible for thousands of marriages and countless long-term relationships without using a computer to match.
I know. I don't know how I did it now. I was only in my 20s at the time, and basically I broke my shoulder in January 1988, and my friends, male and female, were coming to see me, and they were all complaining they couldn't meet a partner. So I thought there must be a way of introducing professional people to each other. And I handed in my notice, and I think because I was in my 20s at the time, my friends and I went out to pubs and clubs and bars and things and handed out business cards, and that was it. The rest is history.
Were you someone that would naturally put friends together anyway? Were you kind of matchmaking before you were doing it professionally?
I wouldn't say they say I was necessarily matchmaking, but I've always had a fantastic gut instinct.
Have you?
And I've always been able to read people. And every time I go against my gut feeling and I try and use my brain, it's the wrong decision.
It's the wrong decision. This is so brilliant. Do you know, tell me what you... See, I think this is the case, but it might not be the case, and you tell me. My feeling is that people are enjoying meeting people online less and less because there's so much catfishing or ghosting or the sweet shop mentality of online makes me feel like it's a little bit crueler. And I'd imagine that people are wanting more and more face-to-face business from, you know, someone like you.
They absolutely are. I mean, we've seen business increase, inquiries increase by 50%.
Since when?
The real lockdown period, since the 23rd of March till we started easing out of lockdown.
Yeah.
A lot of people still don't necessarily want to actually venture into the office, but it's making people think about the sort of person they want to meet. I mean, we specialise in business and professional people, and you know, they want to meet similar types, so they actually want to come to meet us eventually face to face, because they want to find somebody who is sincere in their search for a relationship.
Yeah.
That person has been met and vetted, and we don't take on everybody if we don't think we can help somebody, if we think they've got unrealistic expectations, or that they're not over a past relationship or something. They're not ready to meet somebody or welcome somebody into their lives.
So if someone comes to see you, they have you give them a real kind of psychological test. Do you know that someone's not ready to move on?
You ask them different questions, and you know, how do you see yourself in the future? What sort of person do you want to meet? tell us about the past. And often when they say the sort of person they want to meet, and if they say somebody who doesn't lie, somebody who doesn't cheat, somebody who doesn't, you know, they've had somebody who perhaps has lied to them in the past. So then you'll go down that road and say, so what was your past relationship like? What was your past partner like? And, you know, it's interesting to see what people come back with, but they have to be open to meeting other people. But all our people, all our members are looking for a long-term relationship ultimately.
Have you ever had anyone specifically ask for a short, round woman with lots of freckles?
No.
You could have said yes, Karen. Yeah,
okay. I wouldn't have backed it. You're not short, round with lots of freckles, no. You're very pretty as far as I remember.
Oh, thank you very much. The time hasn't been kind. how do you... I'm loving this. So So someone will come in and then you kind of think, yeah, I think they're ready to, their expectations are realistic and they're the kind of person I want on the books. And then you just kind of go through your other books and you fix them up then. Yeah. Or how does it work?
What we do is, I mean, at the moment we're doing it, in fact, actually lockdown for us has given us a whole new business model because we will, without doubt, be Zooming and Skyping as well as personal interviewing in the future,
yeah,
because it's allowed us to take on people from further afield. We took somebody on last Thursday who had inquired ages ago but didn't actually want to make the effort to come into the office, but she was really happy to be Skyped.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's given us a whole new way of working. But if they come into the office, then we ask them to bring three forms of ID. We ask them to sign a confidentiality contract. Once we've had a jolly good chat and talk about them and the sort of things they want in the future and everything, we will then ask them to sign a confidentiality contract, as I said, and then we make a selection of profiles we think will be suitable for them. And together we go through and we decide who they want to meet initially. So that's how we do it if they come into the office. If we Skype or Zoom them, it's a different membership level, which relies more on our personal matchmaking skills. Right. And I have to say, my staff are amazing. You know, they've been with me for many years. And yes, and it's working. And it's a very, very exciting time.
Do people ever come to you and say, I want this, I want this, I want this, and your feeling about them is actually, no, that's not what you need? And so you still put them with someone that you think is better for them?
Oh, yes, we do, yes. Often we have people that come with a shopping list and we say, look, you know, actually, think about this. We've been matchmaking for 32 years this September, and so we must be doing something right. Think about the sort of people you've been out with in the past. Is there a theme there? It hasn't worked in the past, has it? So let us, you know, put your trust in us. And people do, and that's when it works.
This is, honestly, I think you've got the best gig ever. I would love it. I'm so nosy, I'd love it.
It is. I mean, we never know who's going to walk through the door from one day to the next. You know, we've had very high profile people, we've had all sorts of people, but everyone has a story, and yeah, sometimes stories are sad, you know. And in lockdown I wanted to do the first virtual interviews before any of my staff did, and you know, it was actually quite intimate. And one lady broke down into tears. She had been widowed. Now, her husband had died 10 years previously, but she'd never really actually spoken about the death. And it was actually a bit of a relief for her, if that makes sense, because of circumstances. And it, you know, yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah, totally. Well, and what you do is kind of psychology in a way, isn't it?
It is, yeah, but, you know, we're not psychologists.
You're not going to say you're not psychologists,
We're dating experts.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to bring a bit of everything to the table, as it were. But when we launch our new website, we're going to have a specialist on there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we will be able to, if people want to speak to a dating a psychologist, they can. Yeah. They can book a time with them.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So,
that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Lockdowns, fantastic.
I'm single, and I think I told you this. I was definitely single when I saw you before. My last relationship ended the day after Diana died, but I don't want to get into that. And and I do not want to have another lockdown on my own. Right. And there might not be another lockdown, please. There isn't, but there might be. So do you have any tips for me? How can people listening, well, come to you, obviously, but also,
of course, yes.
how would we find people? Is it about, I mean, has this time gifted us all time to really evaluate what we want?
Absolutely. People have really thought about what they want in the future. We've spoken to so many people who've just been chucking along on the career ladder and, you know, working long hours, and they've actually forgotten about the person inside, you know, not just the inner needs of that person, that they actually need to be loved, they actually need to be kind, and you know, and they forget that when they were just working towards their career ladders. So it is important. It has brought out a lot of, made a lot of people think about what is really, really important to them. And I personally think a lot of people are turning to offline agencies now rather than online agencies, because they want to know the people that they meet have been met and they're not faceless names.
Yeah.
You know, they know that they are really the sort of people they want to meet. I definitely know that. Sorry.
If I did meet someone, how do I? I'm a really. I find dating traumatizing. I find it really nerve-wracking.
I think it's traumatizing when it's random, and when all of a sudden you've got all these different people, you know, emailing you or swiping left, swiping right, or whatever they're doing. But if it's in a controlled environment like we do it, so you'll get one or two or three at a time, but they are carefully selected for you. You agree to meet them. You think they look nice. We use photographs. Photographs are actually very important.
And are they recent photographs, Karen?
They have to be. Yes.
Good.
Yes. for men more than women, actually. I always say, you know, I can sell an unattractive man to a woman if he's charismatic, funny, and successful. But you try doing that the other way, it doesn't work.
Oh no, see, that really depresses me.
I know, it's sad, isn't it?
So to meet someone by Christmas, true. I do have to lose a stone. She says optimistically.
You're not overweight.
I haven't stopped eating. I can't even talk about it. But you still really do think that men, it's definitely all about visual.
I'm not saying it's all about visual. I'm saying they're more visual.
Yeah.
You know, in 30 years, I've noticed that you put a profile in somebody, the woman will quickly look at the photograph, then go back on to read what the person does for a living and everything. The men study the photographs first.
They get out a magnifying glass.
Yeah, we say, I can be quite bossy at times. I say, stop looking at the photographs. Look at the person. Think about the person. She's ideal for you. What have you got to lose?
And do you and are men going for younger women?
It depends. I mean, we say you have to be realistic, and you cannot ask for somebody who's a lot younger than yourself, because it just doesn't work. And because our people are all looking for long term relationships and not just a fling or casual dates. You know, if a man came in and he wanted somebody who was, say, 15 years younger, we couldn't help them. The only reason, sometimes men, if they want children, if they want children, obviously, in fact, we took on a man who was 49 in lockdown, in fact, had his 50th actually in lockdown, and we said to him, you know, you're going to have to be willing to go up to about 43, when we can have children later in life now. So, you know, if you understand that, and, you know, you then we'll invite you to join, you know. But we couldn't guarantee on introducing you to girls in the early 30s, because they might not want somebody at 50.
But Karen, that's hilarious, isn't it? So he was 49 and having to be convinced to go for someone who was 43.
Yeah, actually, it didn't take a lot of convincing. He was fine about it. He was actually really,
that's good
really
of him.
Yeah, actually, he's a lovely man. So,
oh, isn't he nice?
I've hoped we find him love.
Do you have? So we're talking about men and women, but do you have same-sex couples on your books?
No, we don't. It's not because I just think it would be too confusing for us at the moment because we're so busy. But no, we don't. We don't have same-sex couples.
Well, maybe when you've got your new website and you've got all these other beautiful things happening there.
Exactly.
Do you go to the weddings?
Some of them, not as many as I used to, funnily enough. In fact, actually, not as many as I used to. Obviously, in the early days, I went to quite a lot. But now my staff get invited and everything as well. But we had a wedding cancelled in lockdown.
Oh.
We had a second-generation couple. The parents met through Sarah Eden, second time around for both of them.
You're kidding.
I think it was about 1990, yeah. And then our 30th anniversary celebrations, which were just amazing. We invited different couples that stayed in contact with us because not everybody does. Sometimes we don't even know if people have got married. But Pim and Lynn came along to our anniversary celebrations in 2018. And he said, my son's an airline pilot. He can't meet anybody. He's 49 and he really would like to meet somebody. And so he joined. He came in, he joined, and he met Claire, who's 44. And they had a baby in November, and they were due to get married in May, and it had to be cancelled because of the virus.
Oh, that is so frustrating, isn't it? Mm. But how lovely they're together and they got the baby. You know, that's the kind of
joy. Oh, isn't it nice?
That's the joy,
and it's a double-generation success.
That's so brilliant.
It?
Yeah, it's amazing. Which is, amazing.
Which is fantastic.
So, do you have any men looking for 54-year-old women?
Do you know what? You're in a really good age group.
Am I?
Yes, years ago, it's a really good age group for us. It's a very busy age group. We've got lots of men in that age group because we're older, because most men come through word of mouth, we have a lot of men in that age group. So it's a very, very good age group for us.
Karen, I'm very, very... You've made an old woman very happy.
I'm not old.
I'm not old. So for me to find love, give me three fabulous tips for me to find love by winter. Good luck, Karen.
Come to Sarah Eden. let us advise you. And keep an open mind. But also, this time of year as well is, September normally, is a busy time of year because people are looking to find love, if not by Christmas, the new year, New Year's resolutions. It's really important. And I think it's going to be particularly important because of the virus this year. I think people are really going to be thinking about their future, their lives. And I hear the divorce rate might be on the rise, so...
Yeah, I know. That's definitely. I know. I mean, I it's terrible. I have got my fingers crossed there, but you know. So right now it's sarah-eden.co.uk. Is that the site we should send people to?
Yes, please. Yes, thank you. Yes. sara-eden.co.uk.
Oh, it's honestly been so lovely to speak to you again. Let's not leave it another 10 years or however long it was.
No, exactly.
And I will speak to you really soon, hopefully.
Oh, take care. Lots of love, baby.
Take care, Karen. Lots of love. Bye.
Bye.
Rita Ora and Let You Love Me. How great was Karen? I'm so excited. 54 is a popular age group. Who knew? I knew. Lady Gaga and Bad Romance. Is there any other kind? Welcome to the second hour of Live and Local with BB Lynch. Thank you for joining me tonight. Please get in touch. Text me on 81333. Start your message with the word radio, or you can call.
Call 0800 232 1045.
BBC Radio Sussex.
Now, I know you know I say this every week, but it's the truth. And I love the truth. I'm all about the truth. I sometimes don't like the truth, but today I like the truth. The truth is, this is my favourite bit of the show, and this is BB's personal playlist. And I love it because I get to speak to a loved one, and also I get to kind of scare a loved one. So the idea is, sorry about my laugh then, I don't know what happened. The idea is... During lockdown, we were thinking people would have more time on their hands and maybe more time to listen to music, to get sucker, if you will, from music. And maybe they would make mixtapes, like back in the good old days, or if you're going to drag me kicking and screaming into 2020, playlists, if you will. And we were going to start a movement to get you to make playlists for your loved ones. And I'm doing it too. I'm just choosing three tracks that for whatever reason remind me of this person. And then I gift them the gift of music on air. This week's Bibi's personal playlist victim, she's such a lucky woman. It's publishing goddess, Radio Reverb host, goddess, and my friend, Anna Burt. All right.
Hello.
All right.
Hi,
Bobo.
How are you?
Say all right.
All right.
All right. You sound very sleepy. You in Bibi's?
No. I just have an old phone. Oh. But actually, that's so funny. I did an online event tonight, and I didn't put on quite as much makeup as usual. And someone sent me a private message that was in the chat and was like, "Anna, you're doing such a great job, but you look very tired. You should take some time off." I was like, "Wow,
wow, wow, that's not nice." Hey, face yoga.
Yeah, I've heard it's all the rage.
Oh, in my flat.
I'm friends with
Anna Burt. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How did we meet?
We met because you came to one of my events when you just moved to Brighton.
I did.
And you met one of my authors there, and you got him on your Soho show, and then we just kind of started going for coffee dates once a week and kind of never stopped, did we?
We never stopped.
And we spent Christmas together.
Then it went to spending Christmas. That's so random, isn't it? Oh, we had such a lovely time at yours, me and my brother Michael. It was so brilliant. How long ago was that? 3 years?
Yeah, three or even four, maybe now.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah,
I know. What were you, 12? You're such a lovely young girl.
I wish.
My first memory of you is that beautiful face. And you're just super sharp. I love how funny and clever you are.
Oh, what are
no,
you
I mean it.
To me? What have you done?
I'm drunk. No, I'm not drunk at all. no, I do. You're beautiful, obviously, but you're super, super smart and super sharp and force to be reckoned with. And I love that about people. I also love that we really get on well, and there's about an 80-year age difference.
I've always had friends that are ancient, that are different ages to me. I've never felt, I don't really feel that barrier. And as soon as someone that's a bit older than me, or like even a different generation, that says something like, "When I was your age," I just think, oh, you know, leave me alone. I just find it really patronising. So I never patronise people that I'm friends with that are like 18. So don't patronise me.
Yeah, don't patronise me. You do sound sick. You sound 17 when you say that, though. Patronise me. What was your first memory of me? What was your first thought of me?
I love meeting people that have just moved to Brighton because I get all like weirdly paid. And I'm like, oh, maybe we should just be friends forever. And also, you're a journalist, and I used to work in PR. And I'm like, oh, there's a journalist. How can I make her my friend? So I guess it started off with an ulterior motive. And it worked because you love the authors that I had on that night.
Your events. Are you still doing those events?
Well, no, would you be? My co-host moved to Spain, and I don't have the heart to do them without her, but I am in a secret talks with a new venue in Brighton about doing monthly events.
Must TBC. I cough? Thank you. TBC. How exciting. Brilliant. Yeah, sorry, I interrupted you. So you were saying something about brilliant about me.
Yeah, I was saying, and just like that joy that someone new and cool had moved to Brighton, and I thought you were really funny, and there's no, you just make me laugh on Twitter, to be honest.
Do you regret meeting me?
No! Well...
Define regret.
No, I love working with you. I've met some amazing people through you too. I've met Tracy. I've met Madam Storm through you.
Madam Storm.
I've met some of your other friends. I love Madam Storm.
We've had some fun already. So look, the idea of this is I think of three songs that remind me of someone, right? And this first one... Isn't that it reminds me of you so much? It reminds me kind of your passion. What's your passion?
Books.
So what song?
Books and friends and beer.
Okay, it's not the last two. So think of a song. Let's uh-huh. You can have three guesses. Think of an artist and a song, and it's a plural artist, who may have written about a book or books.
Simon and Garfunkel.
No.
Nicki Minaj.
No. No.
Joni Mitchell.
Right, you're annoying me now. Paperback writer. It's the Beatles, isn't it? The Beatles and Paperback Writer. Have you ever heard of the Beatles, Anna?
Do you want to hear something really funny?
Go on.
When I was in primary school, we did a history module on the Beatles.
You did a what?
A history course on the Beatles.
A history course?
Yeah, one of our topics when I was at primary school was the Beatles.
What? What, like they were so far away in time?
I don't know, but it made me laugh. So even at the time, I think I remember coming home and telling my parents, I was like, we're studying the Beatles this year. And they were like, what?
What? Do you, who's your favourite Beatle?
Ringo.
Oh, that's controversial.
Yeah, well, I like an underdog and I do a lot of babysitting and I liked it when he was the Thomas the Tank Boy.
Okay. Anna, okay. Can we talk about your anthology?
Yeah, of course.
So, The Mother of All Losses.
Yeah, so this is a project that I actually thought up a really long time ago. So my mum died when I was 21. When I was about 22, I kind of came up with this idea because obviously I read lots of books and that's what my background and my degree was in. And I was kind of looking for books for solace, but a lot of books about grief and memoirs, they only had that one experience in them. And what I think I wanted was to feel part of, like, no one can depict how you feel in a book about their mother. And I think something that I really learned was that grief, although it's the same injury, there are so many different symptoms. And so so I started creating this anthology, basically, of poets, writers, just normal people who don't even write necessarily, who just have a good story, essayists, journalists, all reflecting on the death of their mother in a different form to kind of show solidarity in shared experience. And I got quite far with it at a lot of publishers and I had an agent. But basically, I mean, at the time, this was before I became, obviously your friend, I just wasn't a big enough name for them. And they couldn't see how they could market it or sell it, which quite frankly is endemic of the publishing industry.
Yeah.
They just don't take risks. So I put it on hold for a while because also, while I wasn't being paid to do it, you know, I had to make a living and, get to a better point in my career. So I did that. And now I'm actually rebooting the idea of The Mother of All Losses with my friend Emily Benito, who is a wonderful comedian. And we are starting a podcast called The Mother of All Losses.
I think this is such a brilliant idea, and I really love what you're saying, which is one experience. If you're not resonating on enough points in it, it's just not going to speak to you in any way. But if you've got all these different experiences between that and them, something will help you. I think that's where we get on as well, because we both had that. I was 22 when my mum died, and you were 21.
And I think there is something really bonding about that, because whether or not you had your experience was in any way the same, understanding that quite profound loss when you're really young is something that I find really bonds people.
I do. And it's like, I mean, how would we have found that out about each other unless we kind of in a weird way sensed it? Do you know what I mean? Because just not a natural chat, is it? Yeah, if we're out.
I must have told you about the book or something, but I have a sixth sense and I can often tell when people's mums have died.
Aww.
It's a weird thing. I don't know what it is. But with the podcast, what we're doing is we're asking questions that people don't normally get asked. So, like, rather than how are you, you know, how is your grief today? How was your grief yesterday? Because grief is so different every day. Mm. And how did your mum live rather than how did she die? And tell us a story about her. And these people might not have had really good relationships with their mums. And some of them could have even been mother figures or stepmums or foster mums or adoptive mums. You know, it just, you know, that broad experience of losing that figure in your life is something that we just kind of want to show in a not too cutesy and not too maudlin way.
Yeah. How did your mum live? That's just brilliant.
Yeah, isn't it? How did your mum live, baby?
She lived, well, Do you know what? This is so, I don't want to get too maudlin, but it was my mum's, it was last week, was last Thursday, was my the 32nd anniversary of my mum dying. And yeah, and it was a really weird, I obviously am in therapy and I am, and my mum has often not been part of my story in therapy because my dad also died, but my dad was such a powerful figure and also was longer, my mum was, you know, wasn't around for long. She died when she was 40. So she's often kind of been in the background, and it's only recently she's coming more to the fore. And this was the first anniversary where she was really in the fore, and it was actually a really lovely day. It was really, really sad, but really, I really kind of thought about different things that she did that were just really, you know, that were her. I mean, my mum was incredibly beautiful, very funny, great cook. I mean, that's where I get that from. Really sarcastic, very protective, just like a really beautiful woman, I think. Very charismatic. I mean, everyone seemed to fall in love with her. We've got a great photo of her in a record shop she worked in Crystal Palace, and there's just men staring at her. Her first boyfriend was Cat Stevens. Come on. Yeah. Wow. Isn't that mad? But enough about me. Before I do play your next track, though, I think the anthology is such a beautiful idea. Oh, and the podcast are great. Yeah, yeah. So I wish you all the best with that because it's great. So here's another track.
Oh, I'm excited.
This one's annoyed me.
I know what it's going to be.
What is it?
Is it Shania Twain? That don't impress me very much.
Oh, I knew you'd be singing.
I sang every word on my own.
Is that your karaoke song?
It's one of my three, yeah.
Oh, what are the other two?
Jolene. Dolly Parton.
I love that.
By Dolly Parton. And Shania Twain. But sometimes I dabble in a little bit of Robbie Williams.
Do you? That's interesting.
Yeah, Angels.
Angels. Why do you love Shania so much?
I actually couldn't tell you when the moment is that I realised I love her. I just know that I love her. Oh, no, Cher, Do You Believe? That's another one of my songs. I love Cher. I just love her. And I think that song is really good storytelling.
I mean, producer Ollie wants to know if Brad Pitt and Elvis get royalties from that song.
Oh, that's actually such a good point. I hope so.
We hope so. Oh, I miss Elvis. Do you know who Elvis is?
I do, actually. Yeah, I actually had an author on my radio show called Bethan Roberts, a local author, who wrote a fab book about the relationship between Elvis and his mother called Graceland. So ooh. I read that and found out lots more about him.
But, Gladys, his mother, before. Gladys. She was 40 when she died and he was 42. Or was it the other way around? Anyway, it doesn't matter. So my last track... I can't believe you made me play that. My last track is I had to play a track... Because you are a Brightonian, aren't you?
Born and bred, babe.
Born and bred, babes. Yeah. And that's kind of rare.
Yeah. No, it is, actually.
So I really wanted to play a track that really made me think of Brighton. Have a guess.
Pete Byrne.
What?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of camp and fun. Good party track. Always good when it comes on in the club.
No, yeah. It's not that. No, I'm going to play something in a minute. Before I do that, how do people find out more about what you're up to? And oh, so you've got your fabulous show on Reverb.
Yes, I do. The Brighton Book Club on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. It's also a podcast, which you can listen to from wherever you download your podcast from.
You say that so beautifully. And you are Anna M. Burt, B-U-R-T-T, on Twitter. Yes. I know it's your beautiful brother's birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Sev.
Oh, happy birthday, Sev. My little baby brother's 25.
Has he got anything? Have you got a present yet?
Yeah, I actually have, and he definitely won't be listening, so I can tell you.
What?
I've got him a really nice coffee machine.
Why is he not listening?
I don't know. He just gets a bit bored of my voice, I think.
Wow, that's a bit hurtful. A coffee machine, how delicious. Do you want me to bake him a cake?
You could, as long as I don't have to.
I'll do it. I'd love to do that. This track, so this is a real Brighton track. It's Fatboy Slim.
I was going to say, I love about Bruce Lynn. Thank
Do you.
This is fabulous. Yes.
Oh, brilliant. Listen, will I see you soon?
Yeah, I hope so. I'll text you.
Oh, do text me. Text me. Take care, Annabert.
Thank you so much for having me. I love you loads.
I love you, darling. Bye.
Bye.
Brilliant. Fat Boy Slim and Praise You. That's, do you remember that video, Christopher Walken dancing? Love it. Let's take a look at the weather. I'll give you tomorrow's weather again. Tomorrow we'll see a dry day with spells of sunshine, although areas of patchy cloud will develop in the afternoon. A warmer day. There will be a moderate southwesterly breeze, maximum temperature 21 degrees Celsius, that's 70 degrees Fahrenheit. And the outlook for the rest of the week, a fine and sunny start on Wednesday, but cloud will thicken from the west, bringing a slim chance of some showers. It will be warm but breezy. As for Thursday, it will be largely dry and hot with sunny spells, breezy at first. Another fine and dry day for Friday with a good deal of sunshine and southeasterly winds developing, and it will become hot.
Phoebe Lynch. BBC. Radio Sussex.
On Vogue and My Loving. Oh, you know what's happening now. Our first upload of the night now, and this is one from Rachel Cox. Rachel goes to the University of Brighton and also does a podcast with a friend. They're both in their 20s and live on opposite ends of the world. The podcast is called Two Friends, Two Hemispheres, and here's a snippet from an episode about online dating.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload and upload your content now.
I could listen to those girls' voices forever. How gorgeous. Isn't it interesting what they're saying, though? So they've grown up on using apps and they couldn't think about meeting people offline. And I'm the other way. I'm just like offline, then I've done the apps, and now I just want to be offline again. I think I'm going to go to see Karen, matchmaking, because I think she was definitely saying there's a market for almost 5'2" freckly women. I'm certain that's what she said. Live Forever, Liam Payne, Cheat Codes. Before Liam and Cheat Codes, we listened to a clip from Two Friends, Two Hemispheres, a podcast sent to us by University of Brighton student Rachel Cox. You can find out more about that podcast by searching for it in your favourite podcasting app. And are you making a podcast? Why not send us a clip? Come on, and we'll take a listen. Who knows? We could even end up playing it on the radio. Check out bbc.co.uk/upload for more details. Our final upload this evening is from Jamie Dyer, who lives in Bognor Regis. It's the first part of a three-part audio drama series called The Hudsons. Part one is called The Pregnancy.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload and upload your content now.
Is that you, Harry?
I'm never quite sure why you always ask that. You know it's me.
It might not have been.
In the middle of a nationwide lockdown.
Ah, fair point. I don't know where my head is these days.
I don't think anyone does.
That's true. Did you get what you wanted from the Express?
Yeah, although they do seem to be out of eggs again.
That happened last week. You'll have to go to the big supermarket next week. See what it's like there. What?
You know my feelings on that right now. I don't feel safe.
There's nothing to worry about.
There isn't?
No. Workers have protective screens now. The shop has a one-in, one-out policy. And you could always wear a mask.
I can't breathe in those things. It's like being gagged.
How would you know what it's like being gagged?
Well, it's a figure of speech, isn't it?
It is?
Yeah. Like when someone says they're gagging for it.
Harry, I don't think that's quite right.
It isn't? Ah, oh, well, no wonder Mrs. North looked at me funny the other day. Thinking about this shop thing, I suppose we could always get a delivery.
Now, Harry, you know my feelings on that.
Look who's talking.
Well, I mean, strangers touching your shopping. It's worse than going there.
You're just angry because they substituted your milk.
I'm sorry, but lactose-free is not made of soya.
I know, but they're doing their best.
Soya is horrible.
But it's better than being ill, surely. Can't you just put it in a recipe of some sort?
You don't remember the cheese sauce I made for our first anniversary, do you?
No.
What if I say the Great Gaviscon Emergency?
Yeah.
Can you drop it in the food bank collection when you go to the supermarket, please?
Yeah, all right. Now start making out a list. Otherwise, you'll forget all the essentials.
I'm not that bad.
You are. Last week, you spent 3 days telling me all the fruit and veg we needed, and cream of tartar. Whatever that is.
It's for baking cakes. I don't trust that ready-made baking powder. I've always made my own.
Well, whatever the stuff's for, you made 3 cakes in 3 days last week. No wonder you needed to restock with supplies. Is it any wonder where all the eggs have gone?
There's not really much else to do, is there?
Fair point. But this week, if you would, please make out a sensible list. You embarrassed me the other day when I was going out the door.
How?
Mrs. North was standing on her doorstep, and all you could do was shout custard creams and bourbons and those fancy ones with the block of chocolate on top.
Those fancy ones. Definitely a pack of those on the list.
Helen?
Sorry. You know, you're becoming a bit of a nag.
I know. And I'm wise as to why. I am doing it for you, you know.
I know. And I appreciate it.
And for the baby, of course.
They appreciate it too.
Oh, there's a baby. That's episode 1 of The Hudsons, a drama series by Bogner's Jamie Dyer. We're going to have episode 2 next week. If you're making drama or performing, why not send us what you're doing? Like Jamie, your work could be featured here on the BBC. Head over to bbc.co.uk/upload for more information. So I need to say goodbye and thank my brilliant guests. Thank you, Karen Mooney from Sarah Eden Introductions. Totally going to find love. I can't wait. I should have asked Karen about Frank Francis professionally, the human rights lawyer that my friend Max has decided I'm going to meet. Thank you, lovely Anna Burt. I will see you soon. I'm going to make you make me dinner when we're allowed to mingle. And thank you, Hannah Brackenbury. Hannah, hopefully, if you must check out Hannah's stuff, she's so fantastic. Victorious is such a brilliant show. It's a musical tribute to Victoria Wood, and Hannah does her own parody songs, and she is so super talented, and I just love her. And it was brackers.co.uk, I think. Go there, and we're hoping her stuff will be out again in March or April. I can't wait to see her again. So thank you for joining me. I'm here again next week, next Monday, 8 till 10 on BBC Radio Sussex, BBC Radio Surrey. Have a lovely, lovely week, and I'll see you then. Take care.